Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing hymn number 208 as found in your hymnal or in your bulletin.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, whose Son Jesus is the Good Shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of John. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is the commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this, we know that He abides in us by the Spirit that He has given us. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
The 23rd Psalm is a psalm about a journey. It's a psalm about how God takes care of us in the rigors and dangers of a journey. And it is that dynamism and that idea that God cares for us that makes the psalm such an enduring favorite. So the psalm says that God finds lush places for us to camp at night. God leads us beside waters where we can get a fresh drink when we need it. That even God's challenges and protections are designed to prepare and strengthen the traveler for the rigors of the journey. That's what it means when thy rod and thy staff comfort me, to use the old King James language. The idea is of being on a journey. And one of the challenges of being on a journey, especially for ancient folks, is that you can be chased by all kinds of things. Bandits, enemies, armies can chase you when you're on a journey. But the psalm says, surely goodness and mercy will pursue me. The word in Hebrew is pursue. The idea being that rather than having bandits pursue you, God's graces will pursue you. It's a beautiful image. And when it talks about leading me on paths of righteousness, that word for paths has behind it the imagery in Hebrew of, a rut in the dirt road, a channel, a carved out space that's been carved out by wagon wheels as the ox pulled the wagons along the dirt road. And so the implication in the text is that God helps us find our groove. God helps us get into the right path to find our way. So that the psalm is very much about this God who actively intervenes in our life to protect us on the journey, to guide us along the way. It's a much-loved psalm, and it's a psalm that is full of imagery that is dynamic and active and moving. It is that dynamism in the 23rd psalm that the author of the Gospel according to John picks up and uses when talking about Christ the Good Shepherd. The imagery there, too, is dynamic. It is not the imagery of being dynamic in terms of God being only providing protection to us. This dynamism is different than that. The Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father, and the Son knows the disciples the same way that the Father knows the Son. God loves Jesus, and Jesus loves us in the same way that Jesus loves God and God loves Jesus. And we love God. There is this connection that happens. It's almost like the old logical formula that we learned in school. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. We all remember learning that. And the idea there is that this is what's going on, that in Jesus we are brought into the dynamism and the love that flows between the members of the Trinity. The idea is that we become a part of God, sharers in God's life, because of Christ our good shepherd. The dynamic is really, it's a very interesting one, and it runs all the way through John. At the beginning of the gospel, we get that beautiful hymn where it says that Christ is God's creative word and that Christ made the world at God's command. And the idea there is the old wisdom idea that getting in line with God's wisdom means getting in line with the way that the world itself was made. And that's the idea here as well. Following the Good Shepherd means living in Christ, and therefore living in the love that flows between and among the persons of the Trinity, and therefore living in accord with the very energies and drives and desires that made the universe. The idea is one of participation. And because the idea is one of participation, that we are the sheep. Where'd the sheep go? There was a sheep over there this morning. It must have wandered away. The idea that we are the sheep who follow the Good Shepherd means that we should go out into the world and be shepherds of Christ's love too. That's the challenge. In the history of Christian art, early in the early years of the church, when the empire was not Christian and often persecutory, the favorite image of those early Christians was Christ as the true emperor of the world. The word that's used for that is Christ Pantocrator, meaning all-powerful. That icon on the wall back there is a Christ Pantocrator. He sits as emperor. There's a cross in his halo or nimbus. He's holding his right hand up in blessing and holding a Bible. And that's Christ, the true emperor. And that image spoke to Christians dealing with a hostile empire and a hostile emperor. They could remember, yes, that emperor over there in Rome is hostile and we are being persecuted, but that's not the real emperor. The real emperor is Christ. And that image served for many, many years. And it isn't until after Constantine makes Rome Christian that we start to see imagery of the Good Shepherd. It's after Constantine makes Rome Christian and cemeteries can happen above ground and not just in the catacombs that we start to see statues of Christ with the sheep over his shoulders. You've seen that image. They start to show up, and they show up first in cemeteries because they remind us that the Good Shepherd leads us on a journey, like the journey in Psalm 23, leads us on a journey from life through death and into life. In addition, that Good Shepherd becomes the model now. Now that we don't have to worry about who the false and true emperor is, what is our calling? What are we supposed to do as the sheep of the Good Shepherd? We are supposed to go out and be shepherds too. There's a mutuality that comes into play in John's Gospel, because John's Gospel in particular always takes core biblical ideas and makes them more radical. You know that the word radical and the word radish have the same origins, has to do with roots. To be radical means to be rooted. And that's what the Gospel according to John does, is it takes several key biblical themes and roots them, makes them radical by showing us how they're tied to the very nature of God and the universe that God made. And the shepherding love of God draws us into the life and love of God and sends us into the world around us as shepherds of that love. We are supposed to be for the world the way Christ was for the world. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, says Jesus. So that's the challenge today. Missing sheep and all. That's the challenge. The challenge is to be shepherds. Because we are so well shepherded.
As you are able, please stand and face east, the direction of sunrise and a symbol of the resurrection, as we recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Beloved God, Father and Mother of all, we rejoice in springtime renewal and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We recognize that Christ lived and ministered, died and rose in similar times to ours. We are grateful that through him, in the unifying love of the Holy Spirit, you welcome us into your divine life.
We give thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We pray that we may all express the wisdom, kindness, and gracious ability to be helpful to others in every reasonable way. May we all become living examples of the grace you have brought to humankind.
We give thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We pray for the rulers of all nations, especially Donald, our president, together with the legislative and judicial branches of our government. And we ask that they make wise, compassionate choices to benefit the entire world, all people, creatures, and the environment.
We give thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We pray for leaders of all faiths and for communities and families that we might speak kindly with one another and recognize our common humanity. We also pray for Michael, our presiding bishop, and Wayne, our bishop, for Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael in deacon's formation.
We give thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We rejoice with those celebrating birthdays this week. Clifford, Greg, Uya, Norma, Jan, Fuller, Carol, Nancy, Cian, Tara, Elizabeth. With those celebrating wedding anniversaries this week, Joe and Caitlin, Ken and Sarah, Jerry and Deborah, Jim and Rosemary, Michael and Jody, John and Sue, Lori and Vince, Jonathan and Beth, Denny and Frankie. And those celebrating baptismal anniversaries this week, Nora, Jean, Michael, and Walter.
We give thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We pray for all those suffering in the world, for those who are sick, for those who are addicted, and for those who are dying, remembering especially Dan, Mike, Elizabeth, Bob, Michael, James, Larry, Stephen, Ken, Ruthie, Linda, Patrick, George, Hope, Charlotte, Al, and Kathy.
We thank you and trust in your everlasting love.
We pray for peace and its advocates. We also ask for the protection of those who serve in the armed forces, particularly Stephen, Courtney, James, Joe, Nathan, and Sarah.
We thank you and trust in your everlasting love.
We pray for those who have died and for their families, especially Jamal, Neil, Nick, Anna, Dan, and all who died by genocide.
We thank you and trust in your everlasting love. We ask for the protection and guidance of all those who have realized your constant presence with them. All the holy angels and saints, particularly Molly, Emily, Alphage, and Anselm, whom we commemorate this week. Help us heed them and become more like them, thus celebrating your wisdom and love in ever-increasing glory.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Kindness and finds lost sheep. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Holy mystery that is holy love, you are beyond complete knowledge, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Source of life, living word, and bond of love, you are creative and self-giving, generously moving in all the near and distant corners of the universe. Nothing exists that does not find its source in you. Through fear-filled days and aching nights, when the powers of death had done their worst, your love has never deserted us. Even when we turn away from you, you are with us. Your presence never fails us. Your gifts of hope and new life transform us. We praise you for Jesus Christ, risen to life eternal as your love. With the women at the tomb, we raise the strain of gladness. Alleluia, life is stronger than death. The day of resurrection has come, scattering fear and gloom. And so we rejoice with all your people of every time and place, and with angels and archangels, proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
It is Jesus, God incarnate, the risen Christ, who joins us together as a community of broken but hopeful believers, loving what he loved, living what he taught, and striving to be his faithful servants in our time and place. In this meal, we remember Jesus, his promises, and the price he paid for who he was, what he said, and what he did. On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." We now celebrate, O God, the memorial of Christ our Savior. We remember his life of love, his friendship, his teaching, his dying and his rising to life again. We call on you to transform these familiar things as you continually transform us and the world around us. Bless the wheat and the grape, the farmer and the harvest, the seed and the sower. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be to us the body and blood of your Son. Giver of life, draw us together in the body of Christ. In the fullness of time, gather us with Blessed Mary, the God-bearer, and all your people into the joy of our true eternal home. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, we now pray.
Gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have... And thank you, choir, as always, bringing us beautiful music.
As you are able, please stand.
The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work according to his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God.